with Renault, official car partner of the GAA, taking the passion of a nation to a whole new gear.
Today's show is brought to you by Renault, official car partner of the GAA. With a proud tradition in Ireland, Renault are committed to supporting those who give everything to the game on and off the field. And after another hard-fought road to Croker, they understand as well as yourselves how important it is to enjoy the journey. That passion for what drives you extends to the time you spend on the road, and with that in mind, head to Renault.ie/GAA for access to special motoring offers exclusive to GAA members.
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
What were you doing this time last year, Kyle? Thursday. Just
looking forward to an honour and final. I was actually down in Mallow, would you believe? I was working, actually. I was out of Limerick for the week, for the last 2 weeks, so it would have been
You were busy in Martinstown, feeding the fish or something like that, tell the truth.
No, I was down in Mallow. I was down with a cabling company, but like the last few weeks and this week alone, like it's probably the winning of the game, really, to be honest. You know yourself, like, you don't want to be exhausted before Sunday comes, having it taught up and everything, like, so I think that is important, to be honest, just as you're touching it there, like, you know, as like they obviously all know, they'll have their side coaches telling them what to do, and but I think that's another little additive for the week as well, like, you know, and I think it's a small thing, but it is a big thing in the scheme of things. Like
your diary last year after the final was great reading, like your old haircut there on the Saturday and things like that. It doesn't affect me and Derek, no. We can do it ourselves, or someone in the house.
Matt tree.
Yeah. The odd treat there when you go in there. I just thought it was great. I think you said you went for a feed of bacon and cabbage, did you, the day before?
Yeah, I did, yeah. My sister-in-law cooked for me they're just like, these are routine things that you do as well, like, you know, and it doesn't mean since it's an Ireland final you have to change it, like, you know.
It's important to stick to routine.
Yeah, 100%.
Were you fresh in your mind there as well? Is anything funny that happened 2017 that you would say out of the kind of ordinary, or, you know, this kind of, you know, Judy Beck, I didn't see that coming, whether it would be some lunatic turned up at the press night or anything like that?
Well, I think I said it yesterday, for want to repeat myself, but I watched up for the match on the Saturday night. I allowed myself watching it. I was kind of saying to myself, geez, I shouldn't be watching this. And then, of course, they had a bloody...
You still have to watch Christy Heffernan and Joe Hayes.
I almost kind of said I'm weakening my mind mentally now by watching this, you know. And then they finished off with a bloody... a skate on the sweepers with fellas hitting balls from one to each other with brushes. I said, Jesus, we're all over the place now here. I'm really, you know, anyway, you know, but and then I said it last night that I got a text from my mate in Tyrone with an article, you know, I hope you didn't see what Babs wrote today, you know what I mean? And I was saying, oh, Jesus. I'm staying away from everything. And now one of my best mates is texting me to tell me, like, and then he sent me the picture of the article, you know.
Which good was man, thanks a million.
I said, thanks a million. Just about to get a night's sleep before it, you know. So I remember that, you know. And but you're largely positive going into the final. But I said it again yesterday. It was, in retrospect, you look back at it and you'd say to your kind of self, were you kind of living in the Jesus, great to be here moment, you know, and which is what Limerick didn't do last year, you know. And I think there's an element of that when you come from a county that hasn't quite made the breakthrough, if you like. There's a kind of an element that you have to avoid, and, you know, if I had my time over, you'd approach that differently.
Yeah, I suppose where I would see where you're, you know, what you're talking about in 17 is it was different for us because you had won a few Munsters, you know, we had no Munster won, and that was the big monkey off our back. And, like, I talk about a relaxed bunch of fellas heading up to the final, and the county awash with colour, like, but we were taking it up. Sean McMahon taught me he drove down the night before with his mother because she wanted to see the colour in Clarecastle. She heard that was the maddest place with bunting and flags, and she said, come on, I'll drive, she said, sit in. And they went in, and, like, that time we used to go to bed. We'd fly up and go to bed in the morning, like, an Ollie Baker who went to bed at about 7:30, and I would literally have to shake him at about 11 o'clock to say, come on, get up, we're going for a gallop. And, like, I'd be picking out maybe a lucky 15 for the day.
just touching that, like, Sean Finn is the exact same on our team as well. Like, you know, like through Marshes now they could sleep on a rock too, but on game they're a bit different. Like Sean, we had to book a hotel room and all for him last year. Like he went up, had a nap there for an hour or so before the match, like, and go up and wake him, and he comes down then and he's just switched like that then. As soon as the earphones going in, he's a different animal, like, you know. You can barely talk to him then inside when you get into the dressing room, like, but it's just funny as you say it, like, but there's fellas like that in most teams, like, and it's mad, like.
Baker used to say, close the curtains, turn off the television and shut up. Thanks, mate, I said, thanks. So it's guess, it's some of the guys, you know, you even in the dressing room, like, I've often said to Sparrow, you know, he was a great forward in our time, and like you put him, lock him into the cubicle in the toilet while the warm up was going on, because you'd be all roaring and getting psyched, and look, Nan would be driving it and it would be doing him no good. And he often said to me afterwards that that kind of 35 minutes outside in the field was lovely, because he could forget about all the rubbish in the dressing room, he said, and focus his mind.
Yeah, you just look at it last year. Kyle just mentioned Sean Finn and Keane Lynch in the team photograph. It's the start of the Sunday game, the two of them bursting laughing. Like, it's just fantastic to see that. If you can create that environment where players are relaxed, yeah, you will get them to perform, because the worst thing of all, we all know, is when you're tense and you're tight, you know, you won't be able to perform to the level that you can do. And to see those two guys, like, they're laughing and joking in, you know, what's that, 15, 20 minutes before an All-Ireland final? You knew then that Limerick were in a good place, that they were good and relaxed.
How many finals were you involved in, Joe?
Six finals.
But
yeah,
he used to always go up and stay in the Burlington.
I
used to go like that. The Cork are staying in the Burlington. Yeah, like, yeah, where the hunt for tickets, where everything seemed to happen that time.
Yeah, well, I think at that stage, Dale, you know what's going on. When you get used to it, you know what to expect and you know what's up there, and you'll be able to, you know, you can handle, you know, once you know what's there, you say, right, these are the do's and these are the don'ts. So things you get used to doing, like, you know what I mean? There used to be in mayhem in the hotel on the Saturday night. We used to get out of the hotel. We used to go for a walk, and we might even call into a local hostelry. You know, it was, I suppose, it was well known at that stage. We used to go for one or two, you know, and then I used to use it as a sleeping tablet, because then but once you can discipline it to two, and then you didn't go anymore. And then you walk back in around the back door, avoid the reception area, avoid the mayhem, up to your room, and you slept like a baby, you know what I mean? That was the plan, you know what I mean? So you got used to it, you know, you knew the crowd was going to be there, there's no point being down in the middle of it, so, you know, if you can just walk around it, just get the level of expectation.
And like that now, six All-Irelands, like, you know, I think I was involved, would have been lucky enough to play in the two, thank God they went well, and was involved with Kyle in a minor one, they were the only three I was involved in, that went fairly well, compared to the Munster final, but still, you know, it's a massive chance, isn't it, when you get to that last hurdle at Cheltenham. And
100%, like, it's, but now, to be honest, now, in my thinking now, I'd say it'd nearly be worse to lose in semi-final than the final, like, you know, because, like, just for our own personal experience, like, these last 3 weeks have been absolute hell for us, like, all of us, because we know we could have had an extra 3 weeks with each other, train, and John, it is very enjoyable, the build up to the whole All-Ireland is very enjoyable, and at least you have another crack in a way, like, you know, and when you're in the final, in, you have that 3 weeks, and it all gels you more together as well, like, you know, and
yeah,
you have an opportunity then as well, like, you know.
Yeah, there's no doubt that you did seem to take it in your stride, like, and that was the beauty of it in an awful lot of ways. And as I said, like, as well as for us, like, once we won Munster, I wasn't sure we'd have a team for the semi-final we'd be celebrating that much, you know, but just the fairness to the genius that your luck name was, the way to turn it around. But one of the funniest things I can remember from that was being relaxed, the parade was over, and we generally got into a huddle for the national anthem. I think the Clare footballers had started doing it a few years previous, and it seemed to be working for them for a while, while we were really absolutely nowhere in the hurling world. And one of my best friends, it'd be Fergie Toohey, team club mate, and we same age and everything, party cup and all together, and he's in the huddle anyway, and I'd gone up for the toss obviously with Hubert Rigney, and we were facing into the Hill 16 end, all in together nice and tight, and the national anthem was just about, there was a couple of words being said, Shasagi, Gariva, or on Levine or whatever, and Tui knew I was behind him somewhere anyway, and he says, Della, what way are we playing? And I said, well, that's Brian Whelehan over there on the right. That's Hubert Rigney there. And you're marking Kevin Martin over there, I says. So this was just, and the amount of people, I tell you, in the following couple of days saying, what were you roaring, laughing at before the national anthem? And you know, on the grand, he went off and scored 4 points in play in a very low scoring final, a 1-13 winning score. Like, he gets four from play. It's amazing.
You need those characters as well, though. Like, in every team needs it. We're lucky we have Keane, that character. You know, he's joker, and he always saying, go out and enjoy your hurling and all that. Like, and just say, if you are a bit tense, like, he'll even notice that, like, you know, and he come over and he might try and make you laugh or so. Like, and it's them small things there as well. Like, but like, you need them characters in your team. Like, and Fergal's, I've seen that in your team. Like, you know,
that's it. What would Dan have been like before the game? I often wondered as a mentor. Because we used to have great crack on the field, Eric, as you
yeah, I know what I'm saying.
But it was all, I have to say, Dan and myself was all fairly good-natured. Like, you know, we had a couple of spats on the sideline, all right, yeah. I have to say. But on the field, he was always seemed to be relaxed and enjoying himself. Yeah. He was younger, of course.
Yeah, he took everything in his stride. You know, I suppose that when you've won a hurler of the year, when you're as affable as he is, and I'd say when you look at Dan, you always see the persona is, you know, the hat turned backwards, the tattoos on the arm, you kind of say, this fella... You know, if you didn't know him, you might say this fella's kind of off the wall, or he's extrovert. If you like, and he's actually a very kind of, you know, amenable. He's a different personality than people think. He's very softly spoken when he speaks to the boys. Even on the Friday night, we always used to leave him speak on the Friday night, and he'd talk about the importance of family to him. You know, all the things that would kind of hit core points with different fellas. And on the day of the match, then he'd, you know, I remember he used to always say to me, he'd put up the kind of snood. I think he was watching too much television over the years, where he felt that. You know, we're covering the hands, you know, that's what you see now, people putting the hands up to the mouth and say, we'll bring on the beast, he'd say, we'll bring on the beast. If you're talking about Tom Devine.
I was going to say Tom Devine anyway, definitely.
We'll bring on the beast, will we? We'll bring on the beast. There's a time for the beast, you know. And you just have to be there to realise how funny it was at the time. Absolutely. Just looking at me, the sweat would be coming out of my head, thinking, how are we going to claw this back, this lead? And Dan had turned to me and say, time for the beast. Is it? You know, I just look. But he had a brilliant way with him in terms of, he had a unique ability kind of to argue with a referee and linesman but still remain on side with him, you know, which is kind of a skill in itself, that he'd kind of, you know, he'd admonish a referee or a fourth official, but yet they'd nearly be kind of giving him a love as he did it, you know what I mean? Which is kind of a clever enough kind of innate ability to be able to do it. But yeah, look, he was a brilliant communicator with the lads, and I think the fact that I hadn't a hugely stellar kind of inter-county career, he kind of offered a perfect balance in terms of having been through it all, you know, as a player, if you like. So, but very, very affable and very kind of, you know, the players loved him, I have to say.
Could we see that dream team together again next year?
I there's a possibility you might see Dan involved, I'd say, in some capacity, just from the speculation, if you like, that's around water. But myself, I'll repeat what I said in the last few days, and that, just haven't really thought about it. I was away on holidays. I had enough to think about the 2 weeks away on holidays. And, you know, I got the text on the Thursday away on holidays, the poor guy stepped down. And I think if I'm as muddled as I am on it, you know, you'd be leaning towards not having a go at it. You know, last time I went for it, I was completely clear that I wanted the job and I was going to have a cut at it. And everything I had in my own capacity was going to go into it. So I'm not ruling it completely out, but I'm basically saying at the minute, I'm saying there's plenty of people there that want to go at it, you know.
Okay. I won't ask you about Cork, Joe, will I? But I will ask you about, you must, like, six All-Ireland finals, you must have had some character. Like, I know a lot of them.
Yeah, you know a lot
you know,
of them.
From
yeah,
the years yeah, and great. Yeah. Like, obviously, there's a unique sense of Cork humour as well. Like, the fantastic fellas, you know, would have worked with Mull, obviously, yeah, the bank and that kind of thing, yeah, and would have met him over the years. Great characters.
Yeah, Kevin Hennessy was probably the main ball hopper in our time, like, in over the years. Shawny McGrath, you know well.
Yeah.
Trying to chase him up and down the pitch at different times. Shawny was very witty. Like, some fellas who were very, very fast to be able to come back with the one-liners. Like, Dr. Khan, you know.
Gifted.
It's been history, like, the history of his involvement with both hurling and football, to be able to cross the divide seamlessly, you know. And it showed last year with the, you know, I suppose, with the huge crowd that turned out for his testimony last year in City Hall, nearly 1,000 people. Phenomenal. But again, there's a gift in that too, to be able to, you know, when you're able to tell a story, tell it at the right time. You know, that there's a time to do it and time not to do it. And but Kevin and himself, they was bounced off each other quite a lot. Like, and should they'd have the dressing room in convulsions. And it's that relaxation that we speak about that to have those guys is absolutely crucial. Like,
was there a famous Kevin one? I've heard it told. I presume our listeners wouldn't mind hearing it. I think it was at 86.
Yeah, that was the time when the Cannon was in charge. Was that time and Kevin was in his prime, and you know, he'd have you all the weekend. He'd be telling stories, like, you know what I mean, having a go off you, having a pop off you, and you don't come back at him, because if you come back at him, he'll come back to you with a better one liner. So take the punishment and don't go back at him, like, you know. But one of the All Ireland final, we played very poorly in the first half, and I think Cannon came in at half time, and he sat us all down and he said, "There's only three players playing out there. Three players played in the first half," and he kind of moved on, and the speeches and the rah rah, and then we kind of turned to go out to the pitch. And next thing, as we walked out the door, Kevin turned around and said to the Cannon, "Cannon, who are the other two?" You know, and hence he hadn't poked the ball in the first half.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
but a great form of attack, you know what I mean? So they're great stories, and you know, Dr. Conn and Shawnee and Kevin Mould, the whole actor, great memories.
And an unbelievable sense of confidence as well, of course, like, to be able to say that. Another lad that, as you said, wouldn't have had played well in the first half, even if he was a big name. Now, Kevin was a big name, a huge name, but he wouldn't open his mouth at halftime. He'd say, "I'm not doing it. I don't deserve to talk." That didn't bother Kevin.
Not a bit in the world, like, you know what I mean? And that was the banter that was there. Actually, like, it broke the tension in the dressing room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's crucial. Going out in the second half, then, you know, you're going out. Back to that scenario. And now, maybe in Kilkenny, we don't see it. You know, you'd wonder, going into next Sunday, who are the jokers in the pack in Kilkenny and tip dressing rooms? You'd love to know what's going on there as well, like, you know what I mean? So, again, I would have got to know David Herity over the last number of years. Like, and again, great character, and tell you great stories from their point of view as well. So it's going on in all dressing rooms.
Yeah, it's one of the guest things that, you know, while I was with Dublin, obviously, and even Clare, Brian Cody was a constant, has been for most people's lives. They've done a bit in the sideline, and I would have thought they don't have any crack. Or it's only since you got to know the boys through the media work with Jackie and Eddie and that, like, and you meet a few more of them, and they're good crack. I went on a trip up north with Wally Walsh and Richie Hogan and Colin Finlay, and the left, and we're up in Ballycran, and what a weekend. John Mullan was with us, of course, just to make sure the crack would be good.
With Renault, passion for what drives you. Official car partner of the GAA.